Unfiltered, the official Sunderland AFC podcast.
Hello and welcome to the second official Sunderland AFC podcast, Unfiltered. My name's Frankie Francis and I'm joined, as ever, by former Sunderland player Danny Collins. How are you doing, Danny?
I'm good, Frankie. And you?
Very well, thanks. A big week for yourself, turning the big 4-0. Happy birthday for that. Did you do anything fun?
No, we were going to have a bit of a social get-together, but obviously the rules and regulations as they are at the minute, we've decided to halt it for now. So just had a quiet barbecue in the end, and weather was lovely at the weekend. So yeah, a nice barbecue instead.
Yeah, it's a second podcast for us. The first one with Bailey Wright was last week. A couple of main headlines in Sunderland AFC's world, at least this week. Two things. We've got a new kit, first of all. Do you like that, Danny?
Yes, I do. But if I'm honest, Frank, I do prefer the black socks to go with the home kit rather than red. Just my preference from my time when I was playing, and I think a lot of fans have suggested that as well. So maybe something to look at in the future, but obviously I'm not the kit designer, so just my opinion.
Does it make a difference, you know, feeling good in your strip and stuff like that? Famously, when Roy Keane came in and we were playing in Lonsdale, he kind of laughed at the team, didn't he? And said, he made some comment. I think Stephen Elliott often references it in a story. So does it make a difference what you're playing in, being proud of what you're playing in?
No, I wouldn't say make a difference. I think it's nice, you know. You like to come in and see what the new kit's going to be like for the start of the season. Obviously, there's only a certain amount you can do with red and white stripes, for instance, or for instance, Liverpool playing in a full red kit, there's only a certain amount of things you can tinker with the kit. But no, it's nice to have a nice sort of feel to the material and what you like, really, and the fit. But yeah, I think they do tend to do the different fits for the lads as opposed to the supporters. Some of the older generation tend to like the looser fit, should we say, rather than the tight fitting gear what the lads prefer to play in.
And because we are the official Sunderland AFC podcast, we must just put out there that it is available to order right now. Okay, Danny? Okay. So you can get yours on order.
Okay, thanks, mate.
The other big news story in Sunderland's stratosphere anyway is the wage cap. The EFL have brought in a wage cap for Leagues 1 and 2. Danny, yeah. I want your take on this as a former player first and foremost. How would you feel if you were in League 1 and a wage cap was brought in? First, that's my first point. And secondly, do you think they've brought it in at the right time?
Well, firstly, obviously, if I'm a player that's still playing for Sunderland, looking to move to Sunderland, then who are one of the bigger payers in League One, then obviously, if my agent's telling me there's a deal to be had at Sunderland the next week or two, and then this comes into play, and that could affect certainly the amount of wages that I'm going to be receiving as a result of it, then yeah, you're perhaps a little bit more disappointed. Overall, you know, the vibe that you're getting from around the club, that it's a disappointing result of what's come out. You know, obviously, the first vote in terms of ending the season early went against us, and now this one perhaps will go against the bigger teams in League One as well. And it's sort of looked after the smaller clubs, if you like, in terms of their wages and the budgets moving forward. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, it's not all about the spending power at the end of the day. Yes, it's nice to have that in the background if you can attract certainly the better players, if you like, in terms of what you can get with the money. But now it'll come down to a little bit of what you can do in terms of your scouting network and looking what you can bring in. Maybe, as we've said before, trying to get one or two gems in from the lower leagues now.
So do you think overall it would disadvantage Sunderland then as a club?
Yes, maybe. Obviously, it's been talked about before in terms of the location of the club now. It's one that's never bothered me. Obviously, I came up here, so I didn't mind it at all. But, you know, lads maybe from London who aren't too keen in moving 5 hours away or whatever to come and play in the North East. Now, obviously, if there was more of a carrot for them, if you like, in terms of the wages. But now, obviously, if that's going to be a hindrance for them, then, say, for instance, they could earn the same at what they can in a club in the Midlands or in the South, then they may opt for that in terms of location-wise for their family and staying closer to home for them. So it could play a part in terms of that for me. But, again, looking at it from my point of view now, if I'm a player who's in League 2 or League 1 and the Sunderland come knocking, then I'd probably, you know, go for lesser money, really, to come in at the chance to play for a club like Sunderland in the stadium. Obviously, the fans aren't in there at the minute, but if they do get back in, you know, playing in front of the 30,000 or so, and playing for a team who are pushing for automatic promotion next season. So that's what you, that would be my personal aims and what I'd be looking for.
We shall see, Danny. We're going to be speaking to the manager, Phil Parkinson, on this edition of the podcast. He's had a couple of weeks back in training. Yeah. What's it like going back into training, Danny? You've mentioned the dreaded bleep test and all that kind of thing. I bet you've had some funny first days back in training. And was it always the same players at certain clubs you've been at who were the last ones or the first ones to drop out the bleep test?
Yeah, no, it's not nice to say you. Even before you're going back in, you're sort of dreading it for a few days. Although I was pretty, I'd say I was one of the sort of top runners, if you like, in terms of getting the distance stuff done and that. But it's something you don't really like as a player. You know, you look forward to going into getting the balls out, but it's something you have to do. You know, you need to get the miles into your legs, get your bodies back to getting them used to covering the distances, what's needed for when the season starts. But yeah, you certainly never look forward to a bleep test or yo-yo test or, you know, any of the long slogging runs and some of the old school stuff. But I think football has changed in the last few years. You know, you get the sports scientists in now and they're recording all your data and your heart rate and everything along those lines. And they'll perhaps look more at distances for instance, obviously a centre midfielder should be covering more distance than a centre half on a Saturday. So perhaps they look to do a bit more with their positional based running stuff now. But yeah, as I say, once you get them first couple of weeks, first 5 to 10 days out of your way, hopefully blister free, cramp free, injury free, and then you get the balls out and it takes your mind off it a bit.
Well, we're going to ask the gaffer exactly how it's gone over the first couple of weeks and everything else to do with Sunderland at the moment. As we speak to the manager of Sunderland Football Club, Phil Parkinson. First of all, Phil, how are you doing? Are you okay? You're back at work now up at the Academy of Light. All the players back. How's it been the first couple of weeks back?
Yeah, it's been good. The lads have come back in great shape. And, you know, it was always a little bit of a concern because we'd had so long without actually seeing them. But as we explained over the summer, the lads been working and we've been monitoring them and they've been given programmes to do. And I have to say, I'm so pleased with how they've come back. So first 10 days training has been good and yeah, we're building up steadily.
Could you explain to supporters who you have working with you up there at the academy with the players and what they do when they're working with them? Just an idea of your backroom staff you've got up there.
Well, obviously myself, Steve Parkin, assistant manager. Andy Taylor is first team coach. Got Lee Butler, goalie coach. Nick Allenby, head of sports science. And obviously at this stage of pre-season, sports science department is so crucial. It's a period where the work is geared more towards fitness-based, and as the weeks progress, obviously it's more football and the fitness side of it gets bolted on to that. So yeah, that's the staff we've got. Obviously, Peter Brand, physio as well, head physio. You know, he's with us. Mark Boddy, who's the analyst, who's very important at this time of the year as well, because any players we're looking at, he kind of goes through the clips as well on the systems we have and offers his opinion on players we're looking at. And sometimes he can filter, because we get so many players pushed to us, especially foreign players, he can filter those players quite quickly and just say, well, we think you should look at this one and this one, and kind of, you know, not saying not waste our time, but you know, you'd be spending every hour of the day looking at players. So it's only the ones where we feel have got a chance of coming to us that we spend longer looking at.
And you've added a couple of players to that squad. A familiar face of Bailey Wright from last season. He obviously impressed you in last season, Bailey, to get you to make him commit to his future at Sunderland. What did you see in Bailey in those few games we saw of him last season?
Yeah, well, Bailey's a very good player, but he's a character in terms of offers leadership qualities, and that's so important. And you know, he's a good role model in and around the training ground. He's captained teams before at the championship level, and you know, all managers always are saying we need some more leaders, and those types of players are hard to find. And I feel Bailey, you know, firmly fits into that category. And you know, he was a player right at the start of the summer. Obviously, there's been difficulties, as we all know, with what's been going on. In terms of the lockdown, etc., and not knowing when the season's going to restart or if it was going to restart. So it's took us a while to get the deal done, but yeah, I'm so pleased we've got Bailey on board and he's going to be a key player for us.
And has he reported for training yet? Because we spoke to him on this podcast a couple of weeks ago and he said he had to be in quarantine because he was actually on the continent when the new legislation was brought through. Has he been to the Academy of Light yet?
Yeah, he's been back in the last couple of days and he's actually had to train on his own yesterday and today with Nick Allenby because his test result hadn't come through and we've got to follow the protocol to the letter, but he did a good session yesterday afternoon. He's out there again today and he can join in with the main group Thursday hopefully.
He said during his downtime as well he did a personal training degree, so he must be in good nick at the moment.
Yeah, I was very pleased with Bailey Estes. He came in the afternoon. He did the run the lads had done in the morning. Everybody knows who runs on the road, it can be mentally tougher when you're doing it on your own rather than the group pulling you through. But he did it very, very comfortably, and that was good to see.
And we've got Aidan O'Brien in the squad as well now. Can you tell us a bit more about O'Brien and the attributes he has which you think will work well for next season?
Yeah, well, Aidan is a player who can play up top, can play in behind a striker. In the system we played last season, 3-4-3, he can play in one of those number 10 roles where Gucci and Chrissy Maguire played. So he gives us a lot of options. He's a versatile attacking player. When he was at Millwall, pretty much a 4-4-2, and he quite often played on the left of that four, but saw himself more as a striker. But even from that position, always chipped in with goals, and especially in the promotion year from the first division, got a good tally of goals and all from open play. So I feel he's a player who's ready for another challenge in his career. He's been at Millwall, since he started. He's 26 now, and I just felt that he was eager to have a fresh start, and we've been really pleased with him so far in the first 10 days.
That's good to hear. And you're looking at the season ahead, Phil, it's going to be a lot of games squeezed into that time period. Will you have to look at that when you look at recruitment, versatile players like O'Brien, because of how it's going to be? You're going to have to change systems, personnel. Is this on your mind constantly?
Yeah, we need cover in all positions because, like you rightly say, the game's going to come thick and fast. Obviously the salary cap decision on Friday has made it difficult for us, or we've got to change our way of thinking slightly, and that's what we've been going through the last couple of days. We really hoped it wouldn't get voted through. I feel it's a decision which is made, people have voted for their own best interests and not financial best interests, because if you want to only spend 2.5 million, then that's down to you. That's all you have to spend. But it's been voted for the best interest of clubs to reduce the ability of clubs like ourselves and Portsmouth to spend that bit more to get the better quality players. And I don't think the media has really explained this well enough to everybody. There's already the financial fair play regulations in place in football, which means you can spend 60% of your turnover on player wages. All the EFL had to do was police that better and make sure they were monitoring everything which went on within football clubs to make sure clubs, especially in the Championship, were following those guidelines. There was no need for this to come in. I feel it's a decision certainly not made in the best interests of football in general, and certainly for those players out of contract who have now not only find themselves looking for work with the coronavirus and the recent tough times everyone faces, but now with also clubs having restrictions with his salary cap. So very disappointed with the outcome on Friday, but we've got to find a way to make sure that our squad is still strong as possible. We've got a good base to work from at this stage, but looking at the board there, we need another five players, and we've got to work out how we're going to get those players in.
Danny, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, obviously Phil's touched on it then, with the wage cap coming into place, and it does obviously play a vital part in the decisions in terms of what players you're now obviously looking to sign, and obviously recruitment becomes vital, where you're looking to shop in a way, I suppose. And you mentioned there you're probably looking at maybe another four or five to come in the next couple of weeks, just over 4 weeks until the start of the season as well. So a vital time, obviously, with no doubt you're organising pre-season friendlies at the minute as well. So there's a lot going on in that short space of time. Positions-wise, I know you won't want to give too much away in terms of where you're looking at, but a quick turnaround, as you say, and vital that you get the right players into the building in this short space of time, yeah?
Yeah, I think one thing, you know, we try to get a couple of players in before Friday, and you know, those deals we didn't go over the line, but it was really the agents and the players' decision on that one. And you know, when you're kind of going for players who maybe have championship interest as well, Dan, you know, it can be difficult, yeah, because yeah, you're competing with those players. So we've had a change tact a little bit over the last couple of days and you know, reassess what we're going to do. I'm still confident we'll have a strong squad, but one or two players who maybe we thought we could have got last week are not in the marketplace for us now.
That's such a shame, isn't it? So it's had an immediate impact, this new ruling from the EFL then?
You know, I'm still waiting, because obviously the PFA came out with a statement on Friday about they were going to take this to arbitration. So in that period, while we wait for that to happen, you know, we're still under the restrictions of the salary cap. But in a couple of months' time, if it did get overturned, we'd then be back to where we were before. So it's complicated. Now, just another point on it is that with everything clubs have had to contend with this summer, that I feel it was the wrong time to implement this. And if you look in the Championship, the Championship clubs decided that exactly that they needed longer to make sure this was the right thing to do for football going forward, and bought themselves a bit of time. And that's what should have happened in Division 1 and Division 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's confusing for ourselves, and fans as well would be confused by this as well. And it's a good point you've made. Why couldn't they have brought this in maybe after the January transfer window coming up, and then said, you know, at the end of the season, you'll have a full summer and then you'll know what you're dealing with?
Obviously, there's been talk of it through the lockdown. And I think because of everything which has been going on about the season restarting and, you know, how the format was going to restart in, this was kind of bubbling along in the background, and it was almost, we were thinking, well, surely that won't get implemented in these difficult times. The sensible option for me would be to say, I mean, the sensible option, like I said, would be to manage the financial fair play regulations better, to do that properly and police that well, and football would be absolutely fine. But at the very, very least, they should have said, look, let's have a little bit of a rain check on this and give ourselves time to make sure it is the correct thing for football in these very difficult times and players who are out of work.
Let's talk about your preparations for this season ahead again, Phil. Are you hoping to squeeze in a couple of friendlies before the start of the season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've arranged a few games. The majority are going to be obviously behind closed doors. We are looking to have one at our main stadium, but others will be training ground games. And you know, when you look at our players haven't played for a long time, 11v11, we did have a 11v11 in-house practice game this morning, so yeah, the games are going to be really crucial.
Are you superstitious or anything about that around kits or anything? We had the new kit launched over the last week or so. Do you like the new gear that the lads are wearing? And do you have any superstitions or anything like that yourself as a former player?
No, so I mean, the kit's great. The training kit is really, really smart. It's really very, very good quality. The new kit, really good. And, you know, like I said, you know, as much as there's a bit of negativity about what happened last week, in terms of the lads we've got, the core of the squad we've got, honestly, the way we've gone about the training and the way they've come back, I'm so pleased with. And we've got a good base of a squad. If we can just be smart in our recruitment in these next few weeks, then you know, we'll be as strong as anybody.
And that, is that something you're going to be, you know, focusing on over the next couple of weeks, the recruitment side? Because we've seen the exit of Tony Courton from the academy in recent weeks. Does that mean you and your team are going to be more hands-on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Tony, watched a lot of players and, gave me lists of players he felt would be right, and we worked together on that. And, Tony has now left, and there is a gap to be filled in that role. But the staff together, along with our analysts, are working very, very hard to identify the players we feel fit into the way we want to play.
Super stuff, Phil. And I imagine we'll catch up with you again before the start of the season. Danny, was there any other comments you wanted to come in with before we go?
No, I was just going to touch, as Phil's obviously mentioned there, you have got a good core of a squad there. It's only a little bit of tinkering, I think, if the squad, what you look at on paper, it should be up there competing if everyone's at it, come the start of the season. You'll probably need another goalkeeper, and that's obviously no secret. And you look in the papers and on the internet, on the chat sites that you see, you're linked with everyone under the sun at the minute. But again, it's just trying to tweak it up for me, looking at the squad from the outside. It's just one or two more maybe that can add that little bit more to the squad and get yourselves off to a good start, and you should be right in the mix, I think.
Yeah, and another bonus for us as a staff is Jack Diamond's come back in this week and look really good. Elliot Embleton, has trained, and each day he's looked better and better. So, those two are kind of bonus players for us as well. So, yeah, I'm not sat here saying we're looking for 10 players. Like I said, I'd like ideally to bring in another five. And if we do that, we'll have cover in all areas.
So that was the gaffer there speaking about the first couple of weeks of training back at the academy. He spoke well, didn't he, Danny?
Yeah, he did. I think he seems overall happy with the way the lads are progressing. Obviously been back in now a couple of weeks and seems to have put them through their paces a little bit, and obviously brought a couple of fresh faces in with Bailey and Aidan O'Brien coming in. And as he said there, he's looking to bring another five or so in. So it'll be interesting. As we heard there, he wasn't too pleased with the decision that's been made in terms of the wage cap and how it's going to affect the club going forward over the next few weeks. For them, as we've said, the scouting side of it now, recruitment's going to be massive in the next few weeks for the bodies he does look to bring into the club. And not on top of that now, we've got 3 weeks of trying to organise friendlies, getting the lads match sharp and ready to go for the 12th of September.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some fixtures and some friendly, names who are going to be playing in those games very, very soon from the club. So that's the second one done and dusted then. Danny, have you been happy, with how the podcasts have gone down? Do you think everyone's been happy?
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I think we're off to a pretty good start, aren't we, Frank? And, a lot of new faces will be coming on soon, and we look forward to the next victim.
Well, not everyone's happy, Danny.
Oh, go on.
You're not on Twitter, are you?
No, I'm not on Twitter. No, I'm not on Twitter at the minute.
Probably a good thing, to be honest, because we had a tweet in after the first podcast. Can I just read it out for you? And then I want you, first, a bit of an explanation, maybe even an apology. So someone with the handle, a nice cold 123, said this. Pains me to say this, but Danny Collins is right up his own backside. I met him in a bar in Cape Town at the World Cup in 2010. I just wanted to say to him that he thought he was a good player, and I was disappointed he left for Stoke in 2009. Now, this goes over two tweets, Danny.
Oh, right. Okay.
Here's the second tweet. He wouldn't give me the time of day. He pretended to be Spanish for some reason and claimed not to speak English. He was drunk, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But life is too short for all that malarkey. Smiley face emoji, hashtag SAFC.
Right.
So you're going to say sorry to at a nice call 123 and give him an explanation of your behaviour, please?
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I apologise if that's the case, mate. When we're going back to 2010, was it? Yeah, I was out there, obviously, involved in a football academy and got to a couple of the games at the World Cup. Obviously, on the off time, maybe I had one or two beers. So whether he thought I was speaking Spanish or not, or perhaps I was just under the influence, I'm not too sure, but... No, I say I apologise if you thought I was out of order, but I'd certainly, stop and have a chat with any fans, really, and So, yeah, I'm not sure about that. But as I say, if I see him, I'll buy him a cold beer. How about that?
Oh, that's such a nice gesture of you, Danny. Look at that. We're making friends here on the second podcast.
There you go. Kiss and make up, won't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, we'll be back soon. Danny, I've had special inside information that we're going to get our second first team player. I don't know if they know about it yet.
Right.
Someone who's been with them for over a season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to be springing that on everyone next week, I think. So do subscribe, everyone, and we'll speak to you very soon.